My name is Moses, and I should be dead. I should have been killed. You may have heard of me. You know, Moses leads God's people out of slavery in Egypt. Moses stretches out his hand, and God parts the Red Sea. Moses brings God's law down to his people. God did great things through me, but really, I should have been killed before any of that happened. I deserve death. Now, Pharaoh thought I deserved death, but I don't mean that I deserved death from Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to kill me for murdering one of his slave drivers. But I deserve death from someone much more powerful than Pharaoh. I deserve death from God. See, God is merciful and kind. He is also holy, but he is kind to us when we don't deserve it. And I know, because he should have killed me. And yet instead he gave me a great role in saving his people. It started back when I was 80 years old. I'm over 100 now. But when I was 80, I was a shepherd in the wilderness with the sheep, and I saw this freaky sight. There was this bush on fire, burning up, but despite the heat of the flame, the bush wasn't getting consumed. And so I went to check it out. I mean, you don't see something like this every day. And then from out of the bush, God spoke to me. He said, Moses. He spoke to me by name. Moses. And God ordered me to take off my sandals, and because the filth from where I've been shouldn't be in his holy presence. And God declared to me, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. And I hid my face. I was freaked out. I was scared. I was in shock. Here was the mighty being who created the entire universe speaking to me. The one who commands kings, who commands the climate, who commands presidents by name. This God, as he said, of Abraham, who had given the great promises to my forefather Abraham centuries ago, he was announcing that he was going to rescue his people now. I just want you to think more about this. Think about who was speaking to me. The one who gives life and takes life away. The one who commands rulers. The one who created time. The one who made you. The one who made me. Now, little quiz here. When the creator of the universe gives you a command, when the one who made me, when the one who made you tells you to do something, how do you think is the appropriate response? Do it, you reckon? Or maybe to search for lots of excuses and find ways to cop out of it? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I searched for excuses. It's amazing. God let me talk back and he put up with it. I mean, first of all I said, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I'm not like Pharaoh, I'm not like the Israelites, I'm different from everybody. Who am I that I should go? It cannot be my job. Can I ask any parents here, have any of your children ever used that excuse with you? It's not my job, I shouldn't be doing it. What about the parents? Have you ever used that excuse? Have you ever used that excuse with God? You see, I didn't want to go to Pharaoh. I knew what Pharaoh was like. I'd grown up in the palace. I knew how cruel the Egyptians were to their Israelite slaves. They weren't going to want to let them go. I mean, I knew also that I'd tried to intervene to help Israelites decades ago. And do you know where that had got me? Got me rejected by the Israelites and chased as a murderer by the Egyptians. I had scars. I had wounds, I had damage from my past, that why I shouldn't be doing this. I wasn't the person to go to Pharaoh for God. I believed God was mighty to save. Do you believe God is mighty to save? Believe he's mighty to save, but not through me. So I said, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Do you know what God said? See, God could have reminded me of all that I could do, because God had been preparing me for this since birth. Growing up in the palace with Pharaoh, all I'd been through since then, he had been preparing me for this. But God didn't squash my excuse by telling me about myself and how good I was, making me see my strengths. No, God simply said, I will be with you. God with me. That is real power. That's real comfort, but still I couldn't accept it. I came up with another excuse. I said, I don't know enough about you, God. Have you ever used that excuse? You know, like not believing that God could help you contribute to other Christians because you don't know enough about God? Not believing that God could be calling you to talk to other people about him because you don't know enough, you can't answer all the questions? I mean, I was scared about the questions. I told God, what if people ask me questions? Suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? So I said to God, well, you know, what should I tell them? Now, actually, in this point, I believe you live in a really weird culture where names often don't mean much. Now, so if somebody says their name, that's just what you call them and not much more than that. But in my culture, in ancient Hebrew and Egyptian culture, names are very important. My name is Moses because I was drawn out of the water. And God's used me to draw his people out of the water. God renamed Abram, Abraham, which means father of many. God renamed Jacob, Israel, which means wrestles with God. Names are important. So when I say to God, what is your name? I'm saying, I don't know you enough. I don't know enough about you to go. But God didn't accept my excuse. God said, I am who I am. Or I will. You have a weird language. Our language is more flexible. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. I am, or Yahweh has sent you. God declares his name. I am Yahweh. God is the one who is, the one who has been always, the one who always will be. And God reminded me of the way he is. He is the God of the past. God acted through Abraham, through rescuing him, through keeping his promises to him. God is the mighty one now. God will is greater than Pharaoh and the Egyptian superpower. They cannot stop him when he stretches out his hand. And God is the God of the future. God will bring his people out of slavery in Egypt, bring them out with riches, and bring them to a good land. See, God is the one who not only is, but who will be. The best is yet to come for God's people. I didn't know everything about God at this stage. Even now at 100, with amazing revelations of God, I still don't know everything about God. But I do know enough about him to obey him, to keep his word. And I knew enough there by the burning bush. But I didn't want to. I didn't want to do what God said. I was scared. People had refused to listen to me before. I mean, what if they wouldn't listen to me this time? Do you ever get scared that people will reject you? You get scared in case people won't hear what you say, even if you know it is what God is says you have to be saying. God's word is clear, maybe, but you fear people more. I mean, I had the bush flaming in front of me, had God speaking directly to me, but still, I was afraid of people. So I said, well, what if the people will not believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord did not appear to you? And God said, well, what's that in your hand? It's a staff. Throw it on the ground. So I threw it. It became a snake. And I ran away. I'm not keen on snakes. And then God told me, this was tough. He said, go and pick the snake up by the tail. So I went in and I grabbed the snake, and it became a staff again. God gave me signs. He gave me other signs with my hand as well. And years later, see, God gave us signs. And then years later, when I returned to the mountain with all the people of Israel, God then gave them instructions on how to live so that the way his people lived would be a sign. The way God's people worshipped him with their whole lives. The way God's people love him. The way God's people live as a saved people is to be a sign. Sign to everyone. And I found, though, despite the freaky signs God had given me, with my staff, with my hand, with everything around, I was still wanting to scratch around for excuses. I knew God could save people. I knew something of God's power. I knew about God, but I also knew about me, about my inadequacies. I knew about my failings. I was still convinced that my weaknesses were bigger than God's power. So I told God, I'm not eloquent. I've never been a good speaker. Maybe you're not a good speaker either. So I said to God, I still can't believe God put up with me talking back to him so much. God said to God, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. And God, Yahweh, I am, said to me, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now go! I will help you speak and teach you what to say. At this stage, you would think that I would have got the message. I mean, it's amazing that God allows us to talk back to him and that he welcomes us to bargain with him so much, but you would think I would have got it. You know, it's clear. God is boss. I am not. But still I said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. And God burned with anger. No wonder. And it's scary to think about what I was doing. Paintings don't talk back to the painters who painted them. Ants don't tell people what to do. But there I was, telling the creator of the universe that he had chosen the wrong person, that he'd got it wrong for this job. But even then, God did not punish me. God chose my brother, Aaron, to help me speak to the people. Now, some people are surprised that God acts in judgment against people. But when I think about the way I treat God, what is so amazing is that God is so merciful. Especially that God is loving to me. Because I don't deserve his love. God loves his chosen people as his precious children. He said in the bush he loved them like his firstborn son. Now, to me as a shepherd in the desert, the idea that the God who made the universe, the planets and everything, loves people, loves his chosen people as his firstborn son, that just seemed strange, beyond imagining. But you have an insight into this which I could only peer ahead and try to get a dim glimpse of from the bush. You know that God sent his only son, his firstborn son, Jesus. God sent him and he was sacrificed so that we could be forgiven for rejecting God's commands. And you know that if you trust Jesus, if you obey him, God counts you as being in Christ. He regards you as being his precious child, his firstborn son, even if you're the 10th daughter of 11 kids. So if you are following Jesus, God looks at you with all your flaws and sees you as his firstborn child because you are in Christ. He sees you through his firstborn son, Jesus. Now, by this stage, after hearing so much from God and this dramatic revelation of his power, you would think that I would be full on for God by this stage. He's shown me so much his power and his mercy. I'd think I'd be passionate. I'd be wholly devoted to God. I mean, that's what God deserves. You'd think I'd be doing everything I could for my family as well, to get my whole family to respond to God, to be devoted to God, because I know how great God is. But did I do that? Did I devote myself and my family wholeheartedly to God? No, you see, I knew God had called me as a Hebrew to circumcise my sons. But my wife, you see, she's not a Hebrew. She wasn't so keen on the idea. You know, the kids will scream, be in pain. It seemed gross to her. You know, so I just let it drift to keep the peace at home. I didn't obey God. And so now, here I was, heading off to serve God amongst all the people, when I didn't even have the courage to serve God in my own home. What a hypocrite. And God was angry. He was about to kill me, as I deserved for being such a hypocrite, when my wife Zipporah took action and circumcised our son as God had commanded. See, I deserved death. But God was merciful, even when our family was so slow to obey him. God accepted me as obedient and as clean, even though I exhausted every excuse first. God is merciful to us and welcomes us as his precious children if we will finally turn to him.